after my first week with them, I got called into the front office, and they said, we've had complaints about your language. It was really hard to keep a straight face. I said, oh, really? I said, are you going to call in the rest of the crew? And they said, oh, no, it's different. I said, how is it different? And they said, well, it's not ladylike. And I said, I never claimed to be a lady. I claimed to be a woman who knows how to cook. So they sent me off to the boat. And the next week, they said, we've had complaints about your cooking. Well, that's reasonable. So I went to the next boat, and maybe it was like between the two boats that that transpired. I don't remember. But they had complaints about my cooking. So the third boat, they put me back into cooking training with this wonderful man from Providence, a Portuguese man, which really doesn't matter. He was wonderful. He was so wonderful. There's things out of his culture that actually make that make sense, though. And he taught me how to make really good coffee and how to make a great white sauce. He was wonderful. Yeah. And he treated me with respect.
Yeah.
And his crew treated me with respect. So that's month three.
For so you're kind of like an apprentice for a while, shadowing this guy or helping
for the him. For his. It was intended to be for that month, so for 2 weeks with him. And it was great. And, I mean, people got bumped out of their staterooms for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just so wonderful about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the second week, I come down from Connecticut on the train, get there, and Joe comes down. And you know how people say he was so sick he was green? He was. And I knew when I saw him that he had come down from Providence as sick as he was to prove to his crew that it wasn't a setup, that I'd be there alone.
Mm-hmm.
That he really was sick, and that's why he wasn't going to be there. And he turned around and went home.
Wow.
So I cooked alone that week. And if anybody had complained, I would have been fired. But they didn't complain.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, oh... I mean, I was really scared. I was really scared.
About losing your job?
Yeah. Yeah, because I really liked it. I really did. Hated the cooking, but I loved being on the tugs. It was the most fabulous life.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed it.
So what would your daily routine be on the tugs when you were working?
Up early,
yeah.
Coffee on, figure out a big breakfast, figure out what I was going to do for a big dinner at what I consider lunchtime,
right.
Smaller meal, maybe leftovers or soup or something at what they would call supper,
mm-hmm.
And make sure that there's stuff in the refrigerator that they can nosh on overnight,
mm-hmm.
And do it all over again.
What time would your day sort of wrap up? I guess you'd have to do dinner, so, and then clean up after.
Well, yeah, supper for them, and it would be, you know, dog watch and... It wouldn't be too late.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'd have to clean up. No such thing as a dishwasher.
Right.
Actually, the dishwasher had two legs and she was named Joe. So, yeah, I mean, it was nice to be able to take a lie down in the middle of the day, but it wasn't, I don't remember it as being hugely long hours.
Mm.
Just at that point in time, I was pretty good about doing early mornings. So that wasn't too bad.
Right.
It seems to be harder now, but I did that for many, many years. No, it was okay, and it, you know, it's easier to do other than having the time to do stuff. I was really busy from before making breakfast to after serving the noontime dinner, because getting that meal ready basically started right as I was finishing breakfast.
Yeah.
Because it was a major meal. You know, in my family, my tradition in my family was that the big meal was an evening meal.
Right.
So it was a little bit different for me to do. But it worked. Yeah. I mean, I could work it out.